Now, he makes it clear here, certain things are included, certain things are excluded. I'm reading at verse 3 now. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. He's already stated to them what it is, but now he's going to put out a clear-cut statement in just a moment. These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat, the hart, and the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the pyrag, and the wild ox, and the chamois. Now these are clean animals, and they were to eat them, or they could eat them. Now, how did they arrive at choosing these animals? And there were two methods. And every beast that parteth the hoof and cleaveth the cleft into two claws and cheweth the cud among the beasts that ye shall eat. Now, as we said before, and I want to say it again, that not only is there a benefit in following this, but also there's a great spiritual lesson for us today. Now, what does it mean to part the hoof? That is, that the hoof is divided and not a cloven foot. Well, that speaks of the walk of the believer. And a parted hoof or a separated hoof speaks of a separated life. Now, I know there's a lot of legalism that's brought in today about Christian conduct. And there are a great many people, they've gotten rid of the Ten Commandments, all right. That is, they say they don't live by them, but they've made about 25 more, and they do attempt to live by them. I do not believe that that's the way God intends for us to live. But a separated life is not so much separated from as separated unto. Paul began the epistle to the Romans by saying that he was separated unto the gospel, separated unto it, not separated from something, but separated to something. The word cleave has two meanings. You can cleave something apart or asunder, or you can cleave it to something. And that's the same way about separation. You can be separated unto or separated from. And the important thing is that to be separated unto the gospel or separated unto Christ, joined to him. And when you're separated unto him, you're not going to need to worry about a lot of these things today. That's the walk. And then we have here chewing the cud. What does that mean? Well, that means that he spends time in the Word of God. That's what chewing the cud is. In fact, you have that over in Psalm 1, verse 2, it speaks of the blessed man, and in his law, that is, God's law, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. And that word meditate is the idea of chewing the cud. And he eats the word of God, and like a cow. Cow has, I think, they tell me, about three stomachs. She chews the grass of a morning, puts it in one, and then when it gets hot in the day, she lies down under a tree or stands under the cool shade of a tree and transfers that grass by re-chewing it, and that's chewing the cud. She moves it over to another tummy, and that's the way we should do the Word of God. This has a great spiritual lesson for us today. Then he mentions those here that they're not to eat, and then he mentions the clean birds and the unclean birds. Now, a great many people make a great deal about not eating pork. They try to get back under the Mosaic law today. But what about birds? Now, I had a neighbor quite a few years ago, and he was a wonderful neighbor. And in fact, he and I played tennis together. And I asked him one day, he was trying to tell me about you ought not to eat pork. He was a doctor, by the way. And he said, oh, how bad pork was for you. And I asked him, I said, did you ever eat an ossifrage and an osprey? He looked at me, oh, what did he say? I said, an ossifrage or an osprey. He said, I don't even know what they are. Well, I said, you sure better find out. I said, I might invite you over someday for dinner and I'd have roast ossifrage, and that would be just as bad as eating pork. Why, he said, I never knew that. And so I told him he better look it up, and I sent him to the 17th of Leviticus, but here it is in the 14th of Deuteronomy. Verse 12, but these are they of which ye shall not eat, the eagle and the ossifrage and the osprey. Now, if I was under the Mosaic law today, I'd sure find out what that ossifrage was, friends, and that osprey, because you don't know when you'd go have dinner with a friend and they'd turn up with having a roast ossifrage, and you'd be breaking the law. Verse 22, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And then he mentions in verse 26, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen or for sheep or for wine. God, as we've said, promised to bless his people materially if they served him, and he did. Verse 28, at the end of 3 years thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. Now, I don't have time to go into this, nor do I intend to, but if you'll examine the law rather carefully, you'll find out they paid actually three tithes. That is, 30% of what they made went to the Lord, not just 10%. I think a tenth went into the temple immediately, but also there was this tithe that's mentioned here at the end of 3 years, and the tithe of the seed. And then verse 29, and the Levite, because he hath no partner inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. God had a concern for the poor.